The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
And this is The Hard Shoulder with Anton in for Kieran. I'm joined by our courts correspondent, Frank Graney, who has been a busy man today because there have been two major issues in the Irish courts. One being the fact that the evidence withdrawn by Conor McGregor's legal team from his appeal yesterday, matters pertaining to that are now being referred by the appeals court to the DPP. We will get to that in a second because the other major case that has been underway has been that of the trial of DJ Carey on fraud charges. I think a lot of people, since that image did the rounds of DJ Carey lying with an iPhone charger in his nose purporting to be on a drip, a lot of people would have thought this was probably heading only one way. It seems to have arrived there today. Frank, he has pleaded guilty to 10 of the 21 charges. What of the rest?
Well, the majority of them will be taken into consideration by the judge when it comes to sentencing, and a sentencing date has been set for the end of October. One of the 21 charges that he was due to stand trial for until he entered those guilty pleas this morning has been dropped. So he pleaded guilty to 10 charges, all, I suppose, relating from a period between 2014 and 2022. He was initially facing 21 charges, 19 of which were for fraud, the remaining two forgery charges, all arising from him convincing a number of individuals that he had cancer and that he needed money for treatment. That wasn't true. His case was listed for trial today, but when it was called, his barrister indicated to the court that he would be entering a guilty plea to almost half of the charges. So he rose to his feet in the dock. He pleaded guilty to 10 counts of defrauding people by way of seeking money for that cancer treatment, and the offences that he pleaded to today involved a total of 13 victims. In relation to the remaining charges, again, one count on the indictment struck out. The others will be taken into consideration when it comes to sentencing, which essentially means that the facts will be laid bare for the judge. Victims will be given an opportunity to address the court if they so wish, and the judge will be allowed to take all of that into account when it comes to constructing a global sentence for his offending.
And are those victims kept anonymous as a function of being victims of crime, or do we know their identity?
Their identities were on the indictment and would have been read out in court, but all 13 of them were read out today. But I think in fairness to them, many of them may not wish to be identified in public. Many of them may choose to give a victim impact statement in October. They're under absolutely no obligation to do so. So I think maybe it's best to wait until then to see what their particular wishes and preferences are in relation to these proceedings.
Did his legal team make any excuses? Do they offer anything in the way of mitigating factors for his actions?
No, and in fairness, today wasn't the place for that. It was essentially, it was supposed to be a trial date. A jury was due to be sworn in today. Clearly, that wasn't required after he entered his guilty pleas and they were accepted by the DPP, and it essentially turned into an arraignment date. It was very brief. The particulars of what he did were not laid bare today. Again, that's for another day. We just know the broad outline of his offending, again, from what appeared on the indictment. The fact that he has pleaded guilty, albeit at what might be considered a late stage, that will undoubtedly work in his favour in terms of mitigation. But again, none of that was gotten into today. The trial had been expected to hear from up to 40 witnesses. It was set down for a 3 to 4 week period. So the guilty pleas undoubtedly saves the state money and valuable court resources. As I said, the victims of this fraud will also be given an opportunity to deliver victim impact statements at his sentence hearing if they so wish. We have yet to learn how much each of them were defrauded by and whether or not all or any of them have been repaid anything. But again, those details are likely to be revealed in October.
And we are likely to find out the total quantum of monies that he defrauded at that point, will we?
Yeah, I think, time will tell, but I think full facts will obviously be presented to the judge and will have to be presented to the judge so that, I suppose they can arrive at an appropriate sentence, they can balance the offending, and obviously the amount will be a significant factor in terms of determining the seriousness of his offending that he has now admitted to.
And in terms of that sentencing hearing, I believe the court was told that a medical condition that DJ Carey has might cause that to take a longer time than normal. Is that correct?
Yeah, I suppose the court was given a brief update on his current health. The cancer diagnosis may have been made up, but he does have a heart condition that the court heard required surgery last year, and he's still getting treatment for that. So I suppose that's one of the reasons that things were pushed back until October. Mental health issues were also brought to the court's attention, but no detail was given in relation to those. A psychological report has been ordered that should be available for the judge's consideration when it comes to sentencing. I must say it was surreal to see DJ Kerry in the dock today. He cut a rather forlorn figure in the dock, a massive contrast to the carefree, steely, almost invincible sports person that we became so accustomed to seeing on the hallowed turf of Croke Park over the years. He stood just to address the court in terms of entering those guilty pleas. It was all over in a matter of minutes, and he left the court. He arrived on bail. He left on bail. That will continue until his sentence hearing in October.
Meanwhile, another unusual day at the Court of Appeal. We were speaking yesterday and you took us through the very unusual events of yesterday in Conor McGregor's appeal against the verdict handed down in the civil case in respect of his assault of Nikita Hand. And it was an 11th hour withdrawal of evidence wherein we were being told that what we would hear was from witnesses who claimed that Nikita Hand had been assaulted by her boyfriend the night before or two nights before the incident with McGregor, something that she described all of the way through as total lies. Now, evidence relating to that is now at the DPP.
Yeah, I mean, it really has been a week of shock developments in the courts. As you say, yesterday we spoke about that dramatic turnaround in terms of Conor McGregor's approach to his appeal against the outcome of the civil rape trial. He had planned to apply to the court to introduce what they referred to as that fresh new evidence, and that related to, as you say, sworn statements made by two former neighbours of Nikita Hand, Samantha O'Reilly and Stephen Cummins. But yesterday, as we all know by now, his legal team decided to withdraw its application to introduce that supposed new evidence. And that was met with shock, total dissatisfaction by Nikita Hand's barrister, John Gordon, who said lies were told about his client. He said those lies were in the public domain. He argued that she should have been given an opportunity to set the record straight. He wanted Ms. O'Reilly and Mr. Cummins to take the stand so he could test them on the statements that they provided a number of months ago. Again, his client accused them of telling lies in those statements. And you may remember yesterday also suggests the matter be referred to the DPP for potential perjury. The judges returned to the issue at the conclusion of the appeal hearing today. I was in Dublin Circuit Criminal Court, but thankfully the court service had helpfully put on an audio link so I could follow proceedings down in the four courts. And at the end of that hearing, Mr. Gordon again urged the judges to refer the matter to the DPP. He said that the material in the neighbour's statements was widely published in the media, causing what he described as reputational damage to his client. He said the application to introduce the evidence was made not just to adduce further evidence, but to undermine her reputation pending the hearing of the appeal. And he said that she was entitled to her opportunity yesterday to call that out in court as lies. And by withdrawing the application, he said they prevented her from calling out what he described as highly disparaging and unfair criticisms of his client. He then handed up a number of documents that his side had prepared ahead of that application being brought. Unfortunately for us, those documents were not read out in open court for fear they could prejudice any potential, and it is important to say potential, criminal inquiries down the line. Instead, what happened was the judges took the documents to their chambers. They considered them in private. They deliberated amongst themselves in relation to them. And when they returned an hour or so later, they confirmed that they do intend to refer the matter to the Director of Public Prosecutions.
Now, Frank, to some extent in both instances, this may be how long is a piece of string, but now we have two actions running pertaining to McGregor, the original appeal and now the referral to the DPP. Have we any sense of when either the former or the latter will move to the next stage or conclude?
Unhelpfully, no is the simple answer. In relation to the appeal, and let's not forget that the second named defendant in the civil case, James Lawrence, who was appealing a decision not to award him legal costs despite a jury ruling that he did not assault Nikita Hand, that took place today. So the court has to consider submissions made in relation to that. So in relation to Conor McGregor's appeal and also James Lawrence's appeal, it's reserved judgment in both cases. So the judges will go away, they will consider the written and the oral submissions, and they will come back at a later date. That date is unknown at this point, to deliver their ruling. In terms of that referral to the DPP, I mean, the Court of Appeal would say now it's out of their hands, and certainly we won't be privy to what happens behind closed doors at the DPP's office.
Frank, as ever, thank you. Frank Rainey, News Talk's courts correspondent there.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.